Hello, everyone, and welcome to this introduction to Great Awakenings, Radical Visions of Spiritual Love and Evolution. My name is Amy Edelstein, and I'm here with Chris Parrish.
Hello, everyone. Great to be starting and introducing this course to you all today.
Chris and I are really excited about this, and we thought that we would give a short introduction on what our goals for the course are, what we intend to do together, what the context for the course is, and what we really want to accomplish, what would be signs of success as we're making our way through these great books and the views and visions of a new world from these spiritual realizers and thinkers and philosophers. And in the end, we'll also give you some practical information so you know what to expect, what the structure of the course is going to be, and what kind of materials you'll get. Both Chris and I have created this course out of our own love for the exploration of spiritual mystics and visionaries and thinkers. We were influenced by different teachers in our own spiritual path, and also by this type of exploration of taking books by and about different thinkers and contemplating them, reading them cover to cover, or just taking a few lines, a couple of pages, a chapter or two, and sitting with it and trying to understand the views of the mystics from the inside out. And that's part of what we want to convey in this program together, is how do you work with the discoveries of someone else? How do you allow those discoveries to open you up? How do you let go and see mystical realization and consciousness from a view that maybe is very foreign from your own, and maybe is one that you wouldn't necessarily adopt as your own spiritual path and practice? But just by opening it up, it teaches you something and opens up a pathway or a portal into the discovery of the nature of consciousness and of how to live a spiritual life that would be different than you would discover any other way. Chris, do you want to say a little bit more about why we decided to do this program?
Yes, because we've got a wide range. If you've been looking at or reading some of the materials, you see the wide range of mystics and visionaries. Some of them are from very long ago, and some of them are pretty contemporary, you know. But they're, as Amy said, they're all men and women, and particular books by them, who've inspired Amy and I over the years, and their works that we've revisited and continue to draw deeper from. And so it's an interesting thing approaching it in this way, because we've deliberately not put them in any sort of chronological order, you know, so like, say, with the Buddha first going up to the, you know, more recent, because we don't want to suggest some kind of linear development. We're really wanting to enter into each of these luminaries' world somewhat on their own terms, to see what unique insights they have to offer us. We're not trying to cover them all. It's not an academic course about everything about their particular approach. Just enough to really get a sense of it. And each one has unique qualities and unique expressions. And as Amy said, each can open a particular portal to the beyond in their own, his or her own particular way. And it can really help us, I believe, and I've certainly got a lot of value from these great figures, to see their particular angle on truth, on how to live what they've realized and how they felt to integrate it. And of course, we're not, this isn't a complete coverage at all. That would take a long time if it's not a comparative religion course. But we're trying to get a sense of what it is that lit them up, and what were the conditions they were in, what was their background, what was the particular circumstances that probably contributed to the particular particular creative expression and revelations that they had, and that we know at the same time that we can't go back into another person's time or conditions, and we're going to be drawing our own interpretations. But in this way, I think we can find a very interesting windows into depth and into different facets of this mystery that we call life, truth, reality, revelation. There's never going to be any final answer. There's always going to be multitude of facets here. And I think that, and I hope, it's certainly my experience, that by going into it in this way, that we will be able to illuminate, you know, aspects for yourself and deepen your own practice, your own, and different ways of looking that perhaps you hadn't thought of. It can light up different ways of understanding, and some of them are going to be a bit alien to us, because, you know, with this wide range of people in, you know, going over hundreds or even thousands of years, it's not like we want to endorse everything that a person did. People came from very different times, and it wouldn't all the things that they did and taught aren't necessarily all appropriate today or would make sense to us. We live in a very different time. We have a very different consciousness and life conditions. But and yet, these are all people who do have something significant that is still living that they can teach us. And I think that's the value in this course.
That's right. And it's challenging to do that. And that's part of, that's one of the skills that we're going to learn how to do, is we're going to learn how to suspend our own preference and certain beliefs and even certain values for the sake of understanding their view on its own terms. And that doesn't mean that we lose our discrimination, and it doesn't mean that we accept things that in this day and age are aspects or ethos that we've develop beyond. But in order to understand the enlightened vision or the sense of depth and the nature of consciousness that each of these individuals is pointing to and speaking from, we need to temporarily let go of our own lens to as much as possible and try to understand them from the inside out. Try to simply see the world without criticism from the inside out the way they do. And that's what's really going to teach us about where they're coming from. Now, of course, we can't do that because we live in the age that we're living in, and we can't really go back to earlier places in time. We can never really see totally through another's eyes. But the practice of letting go of a certain type of preference, of a way of approaching things in order to understand these different views, is part of what helps us open up spiritually, because we all develop our own dogma. We all develop our own belief systems. We all develop ways of thinking that become a little bit calcified and a little bit stale and that don't allow us to explore anew or afresh in different ways. And so one of the skills that we want everyone to practice and learn, and it's one that I worked on quite a bit when I wrote for a spiritual magazine, was we would take a thinker and read them and try to let go of our criticisms initially in order to really understand the view on its own terms. And then, of course, we'd come back with a discriminating mind and assess the view. So, again, I don't want to imply that we are asking you to leave your discrimination or your development behind, but we want to open up afresh and anew. And that's one of the ways that we're really going to learn how to engage with different mystics across different times. Another way that we're going to develop our understanding in this course is to really understand the cultural context, the mores, the life conditions of the era the country that each of these mystics are from. Because to appreciate any of the individual's visionary quality and their radical nature and their courage and the way that they've stepped beyond the status quo, we have to understand where they're coming from. Some of the things that they're saying won't seem particularly radical to us because of the age that we live in and the fact that some of their insights are acceptable now or understandable or even seem outdated at this point. But to understand them for where they are, we need to understand their time. And what were the values of the culture? What was compelling them? You know, why were they so passionate that they were able to kind of slough off cultural restrictions, and those which would have prevented them from really developing their own relationship with spirit to the depth that they did? The two that come to mind in our series that exemplify this very easily are Mirabai, the 15th century Indian poet, who really took very radical steps in her own life compared to what the prescriptions were for a woman of her social class and time period. Ram Dass was also another who really stepped out from the culture that he was in and what was expected of him, what he was being groomed for, and the kind of success he was experiencing to do something very different. The Buddha also, similarly. So you can see that part of what makes these visionaries, what fires them up and what gives them this certain quality of authenticity is their willingness to step beyond what's expected of them. So part of what we're going to do in this course is we're going to learn where they come from, what's the cultural context, what's the time period, what's innovation, and why does, for some of these, you know, stepping beyond the cultural expectations of the time, how does that fuel their own love of spirit? Why do those two things go together?
Right. And one important thing, obviously, in this course, as we've said before, it's not a comparative religion course. It's not an academic course where we compare and cover all the teachings of each of these figures. The aim is our own transformation. We're using a different lens to explore these books, to explore these figures. While we definitely will give general background and about each figure and their lives and their teachings, the aim of this course is to journey past the words and into the heart of what is being transmitted in their book and lives. And as we've said in our information, you don't have to read the whole book. Of course, you may feel inspired to read that, but it's not necessary because we're not trying to cover everything. We're taking one or two of perhaps of each person's essential messages and their teachings and expressed in the book that we've chosen for each. And whereas if we were going to try to cover the whole teachings, we'd need a lot more time, but also it would lead to a more superficial study. We're trying to go to the heart of a particular message from each, which certainly resonates most deeply with Amy and I, and hopefully you too, and to use that as a way into the heart of them, their message. So we'll be using the presentations and short extracts in the workshops, which are entirely enough for you to be able to delve deeply into the heart of each mystic's work. Sometimes too much information it can be good to have a lot of information, but it's not necessary. And sometimes it can be easier to just stay with a few things and penetrate into that deeply. Because often you can get more from one sentence that's really sat with and contemplated and discussed together and gone into, than reading a whole book. It can be like that. So I also hope that the very different approaches taken by our selected visionaries and that we're going to be exploring together will hopefully expand all our capacities in an open-ended way. They don't all fit together neatly. They're very different, some of them. But that's the nature of life. Each is genuine, and I think it's stimulating, stimulates interest and wonder. That is really, to my mind, at the heart of spirituality, rather than thinking we're going to pull it all together and come up with one final answer, you know, because life doesn't work like that. In fact, often a so-called final answer can deaden freshness. I mean, this is opening possibilities and creating space in us, hopefully, to contemplate new avenues, new facets that we perhaps had never looked at before, to stimulate us, because I think a lot of what's at the core of spirituality are those very qualities of wonder and freshness and interest and open-endedness and understanding, that understanding itself is a process, that there is no end in a certain sense. So we won't be overloading you with material. Of course, you're welcome to read as much as you like, and some people like doing a lot of reading, and that's great if that's what you're inspired by, but it's not necessary at all.
That's right. That's right, Chris. And if you want to read, we certainly encourage that. And some people have mentioned to me that they want to use this classes to help them with the discipline of reading. And what we want to do is reconnect you with the joy of engaging with spiritual writings and of the discipline of that, of letting go of our inbox and our cell phone and the incessant current events that we probably don't need to spend as much time with more superficial feeds as we often do, and to put some time into contemplation and engagement with spiritual works. It really is deeply refreshing, and we discover old friends and new friends, and it helps us in our age feel connected with spiritual aspirants and practitioners from other ages, other cultures, other times, and it really does help to make real the experience of the universality of the spiritual call, and the fact that it's a human characteristic, you know, that we are pulled by this and have been over the ages and over the countries, and whether we're men or women or wealthy or poor, and when we're able to connect directly with the voices of these different mystics, we also realize that they were people like us. And their work is the result of their own vision and also the time that they put or others put to documenting their vision. And I think that can provide a lot of encouragement and a lot of inspiration to take our own spiritual questions seriously and to cherish them and value them and write about them and make our own contributions to the greater spiritual body of literature that's come about throughout the ages. I think we certainly could use as much of that as possible. We've talked a lot about the mystics and the books and how to work with them. A central aspect of this course, and one of the unique things that I think Chris and I have to share with you all, is the process of collective spiritual inquiry. And in the monthly workshops, we're really going to be engaging with that, and that's why we designed the program to have 3 hours of collective spiritual inquiry, so we could really have once a month where we let ourselves go deep and we let ourselves really explore, because it takes time. It takes time to begin a discussion and go beyond the superficial and work a theme together. And our collective engagement can help us shed our preconceived notions, our prejudices, our likes and dislikes. There are going to be certain mystics that we really like and respond to and have an affinity with, and certain others that we absolutely don't. I certainly experienced that myself among the 12 that we chose, that there were some that I really had an aversion to, and I kept working with them and working with them and working with them, and Chris and I would speak about different people, and I started to discover things that I wouldn't have otherwise. So this process of spiritual inquiry is one of the ways that we stretch our consciousness, so we allow something else to emerge. And as we work together and inquire together, that process of reflection from other people, what we pick, helps us pick up on depth and on insight that we would have missed. So this is a really central aspect of the Great Awakenings program, and we're really looking forward to working with all of you to hone your qualities of spiritual inquiry. It's a little practiced art, and we need to learn how to facilitate development in ourselves and each other, and this is one of the ways to do it. And Chris, I know, is quite, and you know, he's really done a lot of experimentation with this.
Yeah, this is this point of the Great Awakenings course is so much going to be using collective spiritual inquiry. Really thrilled me, because I like the idea that we're taking some of these, you know, perhaps timeless, in some cases ancient works, but then we're looking together, using a lot of experimentation and a lot of things that have, I think, really have developed. I mean, it's not that there wasn't dialogue and conversation in olden times, and obviously there was, but I think there has been a lot of development of different ways to engage in a deeper way, and in more recent times, in recent decades, and I think of seeing the actual discussion together as a collective spiritual practice is a very useful thing. And that's why this isn't a book club, you know, because we're really bringing the art of creative conversation or of collective inquiry, evolutionary dialogue, however we want to term it, in a very open, meditative atmosphere to these workshops, so that together I think you can magnify the possibilities for understanding. And it's partly because you create a container, an ambience, a field together to go into these things more deeply. But then it does release everyone's creativity, and that becomes such a cumulative thing together that I think it's really a wonderful art in this. So I'm really looking forward to taking short pieces, extracts from the work, from these books, and really delving together deeply to hopefully again open doors to the sensual truths and the, you know, the unique perfume and resonance that each of these figures brings in their own way. That's one of the most exciting things to me of this whole process, to see this, that actually we're not just talking about it, but we're actually wanting to enter deeply together as a kind of spiritual practice to advance all our understanding and to increase, you know, the depth with which we can appreciate and let in what can seem like just like a few words. It is an extraordinary magic thing that it need only take a sentence or two or a paragraph to open everything up. It doesn't need necessarily a whole book. I think that's you know, we've said this in different ways, it's at the heart of this Great Awakenings course.
I'm getting excited just speaking about it.
Right.
Yeah. The other aspect that we wanted to encourage in everyone, Chris was just describing the collective spiritual inquiry as a shared spiritual practice, and to see it that way. Because, as we said at the beginning, the goal of this course is our own transformation, our own deeper engagement with spirit, and our own sense of the spiritual dimension of life being living, being a part of what we're aware of, a part of what really fuels our relationships and our connectedness and our experience of life, because that's going to bring about more stability, more centeredness, more joy, more ease, more intelligence, more compassion in our culture at large. So we want to encourage everyone to also engage in whatever form of practice that you do, whether it's meditation or contemplation or prayer or some form of ritual, whether it's several hours a day or a short moment a day or a walk or some minutes in your walk to work, where you are consciously turning your attention to the sacred dimension of life. Because that type of contemplation and intimacy with spirit is really a foundation for the work together, as we familiarize ourselves with the presence of spirit, with the experience of that which we can't explain, with the mysterious quality of infinity and of unity and of emptiness and fullness, or however you want to term it. That's gonna develop in us a porousness for all of the work that we're doing. It's gonna water the soil of ourselves so that the insights of the different mystics we read can really land somewhere and take root. So while we won't be prescribing a specific practice for the whole duration of the course, we will encourage at different times different types of meditation or different types of contemplation that will support your work in this. And whatever you're currently doing, we want to encourage you to take it even a little bit more seriously, which doesn't mean to be more tense about it or more rigid about it, but to value it, to allow yourself to feel the joy of it, allow yourself to appreciate what that whole quality of turning your attention to the sacred. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful aspect of our humanity when we do that, and it's a very intimate and personal part of our lives. And the more we simply allow ourselves to appreciate that movement and that draw to the sacred, the more it will start to permeate our being. And as it does that, it will enter into our relationships with each other. And of course, as we're looking at our own transformation, we're looking at the upliftment of the culture that we share with each other.
Yeah, just to say briefly, because you've said quite a bit there, I mean, that the importance of meditation, it really is an integral part of the way we will be approaching the collective inquiry, approaching the workshops, because Amy and I both feel that for the art of inquiry, of conversation, for it to go deeper and for it to have more sense of traction rather than trading words, that really this dimension of consciousness, of deeper consciousness, of meditation, of creating that field in some ways, and we'll introduce that in the workshops quite a bit, is really pivotal for a discussion to go much deeper and reach levels that just don't happen otherwise. I think it's one of the undervalued parts of the art of conversation is what we could call meditation in a loose sense, and we'll go into this in the course. So, I mean, I think that's really it, unless you have more, Amy.
I think that's probably covers up most of what we want to do together. Maybe I'll just add just a really quick overview of practically what's going to happen, so everyone has an orientation. And I'll reiterate all of this by email as well, but the structure of the course is we'll start at the beginning of the month, where you'll have the book, or you can find passages from the books online if you don't want to, you know, get the entire book. There are some links on the Great Awakenings webpage, which will orient you to the thinkers and their work. And I hope that as you find other resources, you add them to the page so that we can develop a bigger library and catalog of work related to these thinkers. You'll get an audio of the theme of the month that Chris and I will record in advance, and that'll be an hour-long session on the particular mystic or philosopher. And we encourage you to spend some time, you know, and make sure that you engage, listen to a clip from that thinker, or read a passage, post your comments on the Great Awakenings page. And then the third Sunday of the month, we'll do a workshop, and that workshop will be the three-hour workshop of the month, which is really the cornerstone of the month. And what we also wanted to encourage you to do is at the end of the workshop, or some days following, really take some focus time and record what you learned and what your experience was with that particular thinker. We want to help make this conscious. We want to help make conscious our process of discovery, what we're learning about collective spiritual inquiry, why it's a practice, what we're learning about how to open our view, how to step beyond the familiar, and what we're learning specifically from each individual that we're engaging with, and how have we gotten to know them. So that'll be the structure of the course, and I think it's going to be incredibly enriching. I know I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to our shared discovery and process together.
Yeah, so I hope you all find this course very valuable and interesting and enjoyable too.